kick the lights up. There you go. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And we're going to start at verse 13 here. It says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Now go with me to Proverbs 18, 14. And it says this, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" Think about that. Anybody here ever have a broke or crushed spirit before? It's terrible, isn't it? Today I want to talk about a topic that every person in this place, every person watching, listening online, every person who has ever walked this earth, whoever will, has experienced in their life. Now, some have experienced this thing, some more intense than others, but nonetheless, everybody experienced this thing. I'm talking about rejection. Amen. I'm talking about rejection. Specifically, I want to talk about how to overcome rejection in your life. Amen. Everybody has been rejected. If you haven't, get ready. Right? So the title of this message is this, How to Overcome Rejection. And we're going to take little Holy Ghost trails and paths, amen? But listen to this. The word reject is defined as a person or thing that is dismissed as failing to meet the standards. A person or thing that's dismissed as failing to meet the standards. Now, within the soul of a person, it's an overwhelming feeling of not feeling wanted. You feel unwanted. You feel unloved. You don't feel valued. Anybody ever been there before? Maybe you're there right now, and you probably are because that's why the Holy Ghost told me to preach this today. Amen? Now, some rejection is for real. True things really happen to you. And then there's other kinds of rejection that's perceived. Say perceived. But nonetheless, you feel that rejection on the inside. Now, in this message, I'm talking about experiencing rejection from people and situations in your life and how to overcome that emotionally. I thought, well, Holy Ghost, that's a pretty practical topic, isn't it? When rejection takes place in our life, it can cause major wounds in our heart and soul. Amen? And here's what you got to know. If not put in check emotionally, experiencing rejection can put a person into a severe tailspin in their life, and it can lead to destruction. It can lead to a destructive mindset. It will lead to destructive actions in your life. A person, listen to this, a person that has a spirit of rejection will oftentimes do or say things, listen to me, that will cause people to reject them because they're afraid of being rejected by them. So they say, I'm going to do or say something where I push them away before they reject me. When it gets to that point in your life, you know it's really bad. When you're sabotaging your own life, are you following me? Now, so when rejection takes place in our life, it can cause major wounds in our heart and soul, all right? You need to have a spiritual mindset and recognize something here. These individuals who let this rejection just grow, I mean, it grows like a weed, it grows horrible, right? They become, the Holy Ghost gave me this picture on the inside, they become a human tornado that destroys everything good in their path and in their life. Don't ever forget this. Hurt people hurt people. Are you getting it? Say it with me. Hurt people hurt people. So you need to have a spiritual mindset to recognize that in a person's life. Remember I talked about last week about you who are spiritual, help restore an individual. Help restore them. Help put them back in place, right? So we need a spiritual mindset to recognize a person that's dealing with this major rejection in their life. Now, this rejection can come from a parent. It can come from a family member. It can come from a spouse. It can come from a divorce. It can come from getting fired, getting let go from a job, or losing your career, getting passed over for a promotion. And the list goes on and on. You get it, right? The point is that they experience rejection somehow, and they take it personal. Don't listen to this. Oh, we're going to go into something here. If you will take hold of what I'm about ready to say, it will set many people free, okay? The verses I read in Proverbs reveals that a broken, a crushed heart and spirit can affect every area of a person's life and even their physical health and well-being, okay? It's not a question of if you will ever experience rejection in your life. The main question is this: how have you experienced it, and how are you dealing with it? All right? So rejection will come, and the Holy Ghost said this: rejection is just a part of the human experience on this earth. It's just going to happen, and it happens. What I find amazing is this, that two people can go through the same terrible experience of rejection, and one falls apart, but the other person moves forward and presses on with life. Isn't that amazing? So we know that a crippling situation in your life doesn't have to be the end of your life, because there's people who have pressed on and made lemonade out of lemons in their life. Hello, somebody. But many people get stuck after experiencing severe rejection. Life is going along just fine, and then rejection takes place. And it's like they were driving along, and they got stuck in the mud of that emotional pain, and it sets them back in life. I'm here today to try to help pull you out of that mud. I'm here to throw you a Holy Ghost lifeline today. If you'll take hold of it, you will come out of that mud. Amen? Now, there are some that have had severe rejection in their life, and they think they're just fine. But they're really not, because it altered their personality of who they really are, who God made them to be. And now they're filled with anger, rage, self-pity, and negativity and every negative thing in their life. Amen. But they're okay. Amen. Okay? I want you to notice something here. Let's go back to the definition here, the definition of the word reject again. Listen very carefully. It is a failure of meeting the standards. And you could add to this, are you ready? The standards of another person for your life. Oh, come on. This is where you got to take hold of this right now. The first thing, major thing you need to understand and get a revelation of is that you are basing your value and worth on another person's standard toward you. Or their view or their perception of who they think you should be. Now, I've got to say this. We always got to throw this in here, okay? Listen to this. If you were rejected by a person or a job for being, let's just say an idiot. And not living up to your end of the deal, that's on you. Are you getting it? All right? In that case, you needed to take it as a wake-up call, a life-learning lesson, make the changes, grow spiritually, and move forward with life. Don't use this message to justify your bad behavior that led to a rejection. Amen. I'm talking about situations of rejection that were absolutely unfair, and they affected your life. They wounded your soul. Amen. They negatively affected your life. Now, the problem with rejection wounds, listen to this, in your soul is that they are based, again, on the standards of that another person set for you. Isn't that messed up? You have given so much power to that person in your life to pull you off course from the Lord in your life. Many times people fall away from their walk with God because of it. All right, now listen to this. Those wounds in your soul, they're not based on truth, but rather on another person's opinions about you. Now think about it. People with rejection wounds, listen to this. They are altering and messing up their entire life based on a false perception of someone else toward you. Oh, come on. You have to get mentally and spiritually stronger than that, because your weakness mentally and spiritually allowed you to take hold of that false reality of who you really are. So people are throwing in the towel. People are giving up on life based on another person's twisted view of who they think you should be. This is exactly what the enemy wants to happen in our life. If you are not grounded and rooted in the Word of God, if your identity is not rooted in Christ, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you will always be manipulated by people's perception of who you should be. And it's all based on a lie. So are you living a lie today? Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is what's going on. If you allow the opinions of other people to change who you are, to pull you away from your identity in Christ, this is what the Holy Spirit said. You are allowing the spirit of witchcraft to control your life by taking a person's false perception of you and making it your own view of yourself. That is a spirit of control. That is a spirit of witchcraft that is taking place. And only you have given place to it. Not the person who has that false perception at you. You have made their opinion your truth. And you're allowing that demonic spirit to influence your entire life. You are allowing divine appointments and life to pass you by based on a false reality. It's overshadowing your true identity in Christ. Here's what it is. Are you ready? It's a focus problem. You got the wrong focus. Oh, the Holy Spirit showed me something amazing here. Have you ever noticed, once in a while, I'm on Facebook scrolling, and there's this page that I liked a long time ago. It's called Hollywood Deaths, and it just showed on a certain anniversary, certain celebrities who died and all that. And I can't tell you how many times there is a celebrity who, it's their name, let's just say like a Marilyn Monroe, right? That is not her real name. How many people in Hollywood changed their names to be accepted? Katy Perry, that's Catherine Hudson. But someone told her, you got to change your identity to be accepted. Oh, come on, listen to this. Do the research for yourself. So many have changed their name and identity to fit a worldly scene because they rather be accepted in the world rather than by the Lord and who the Lord created them to be. Now, so the kingdom of darkness is behind those names and identity changes in Hollywood. And he is behind that identity change in your life. Think about it. The enemy's major mission is to get you to focus on your wrong identity. Anything outside of your identity in Christ. Anything. Let me tell you something. You are not your career. You are not your job. You are not what you do. Are you following me? Do not allow the enemy to influence you to change your identity for the acceptance of another person or of this evil world system. It's not worth it. The serpent talked Adam and Eve into forsaking their true God-given authority and identity in the Garden of Eden. Listen to this. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Holy Spirit brought this verse to my remembrance in connection to overcoming rejection. We have been given authority to overcome the power. You know what that word power really means in that verse? The power of the enemy? The influence of the enemy. Or he's given us authority over the influence of the enemy from shifting our mindset away from our identity in Christ. When you, listen, when used, our God-given authority is greater than the influence of the enemy in our life. The power of the enemy is simply this. The only thing the enemy can do in your life is this: try to influence you. He can't force you to do anything. That power is simply influence. Say influence. The enemy is always trying to tempt us to shift our mindset away from our identity in Christ. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: no temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen to this. God has given us authority to escape the temptation to lower our standards in Him. Are you getting it? Some of you maybe never even thought of these scriptures in connection to overcoming rejection. But it's all there. That's how the Holy Spirit can take a scripture and pull out thousands, millions different applications for one scripture. Amen. The Word of God is supernatural. Amen? So we must walk in our authority to overcome the influence of the enemy. If we will do that, then nothing shall by any means harm us or hurt us. So keep your identity fresh in your thought life of who you really are. In other words, we can operate in our authority when we are operating in our true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. How God views us. And that is spiritual authority, spiritual reality. Say reality. Many of us have been living our lives. We've all done it. We've been living our lives apart from spiritual reality because we want to fit in. We want to fit in with the crowd. We want to fit in with friends. We want to fit in at our job. But you shifted your identity in your mindset. And now when you step out of that identity, now you're opening the door for the enemy to come in and hurt you. When we step out of that God-given authority, that's when the power or the influence of the enemy can affect us and open us up to harm. When we allow rejection to get a foothold in our soul, listen to me, that is when we start to go off course into the devil's territory. Listen, a divorce can do that to a person. They feel like no one wants them. Anybody ever been through divorce? Right? Okay, come on, I'm preaching to someone here. They feel, when you go through that kind of a rejection, you feel like nobody wants you, and you start to do things out of character of who you are in Christ for acceptance. You try to do things out of character to try to numb the pain. You're looking for acceptance, but it's a counterfeit. Say counterfeit. Man, I can't tell you how many times that happens. So sure, you have a wound from a traumatic situation at first. But the problem is this. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you. He said, when spiritual first aid is not immediately applied to it, it's seen as a shot at your identity, and that emotional wound gets infected. That emotional wound gets infected. That wound starts to grow and get bigger. Just like our physical body, when a seemingly small wound is ignored and it becomes a bigger issue. You ever had that before? You cut yourself or something, you let it go, and all of a sudden this thing's starting to look pretty wild now, right? That infection, instead of being dealt with, starts to spread. It became a bigger issue. So when an emotional wound starts to get infected, spiritually speaking, it affects your thought life, which eventually leads to it negatively affecting your mindset, your perception of life, and your actions. That's how someone, friend, I just told you how someone can become a human tornado, and they start to wreck everything good in their life. When it gets to the point of causing anxiety, when it gets to the point of causing depression and negatively affecting your actions, that is when you know the initial wound and that spiritual infection has spread throughout your heart and life. That's when you know It's infected. Your actions are the fruit of your thought life. Don't ever forget this. Wrong thinking will always manifest wrong actions. Wrong thinking will always manifest wrong actions in your life. Now, if you have experienced rejection that has negatively affected and influenced your life, you need to get back to the Word. You need to feed on passages that reveal who you truly are in Jesus Christ. It sounds simple, but a lot of these things are simple corrections. Are you following me? You want some deep theological revelation? That's it. Give the Holy Ghost something to work with in your life, and that's the Word of God in your heart. Amen? And you need to know and understand that a person's standards for you do not define your value. Your focus, in fact, if you allowed that to happen, here's what happened. You probably made an idol out of that person in your life. You probably made an idol of that job in your life. Are you following me, somebody? Your focus was more on a person or a job or a thing more than it was on God. Okay? So many that have been rejected, they feel like their life is over and can never be recovered, right? And again, this especially happens after a divorce and losing a job. I just use those because those are some big namers right there, right? But listen to this. Where do you go? What do you do after a life-altering rejection takes place in your life? What's the next step? The first thing you need to do is this, is that you need to allow yourself, listen to me, to mentally and emotionally process the situation. Amen. Talk it out with a fellow believer, someone that you can trust. Allow yourself, listen to me, allow yourself some space and time to grieve. See, the people that run out are doing wild stuff after getting rejected. They're not given that time. They're trying to numb the pain. They're trying to numb it, but all they're doing is they're digging a deeper hole. They're digging a deeper hole. That's going to lead to negative circumstances in their life. So allow yourself some space and time to grieve and let your emotions come out in a healthy way. Do not suppress your emotions. Let me say it again. Do not suppress your emotions, right? This is not a thing where you fake it till you make it. Because you try to fake it, you try to cover it up, and you're going to do stupid things, and you're going to be that human tornado. Why? Because of this. Are you ready for this? Suppressed emotions will always find their way out somehow. Usually in poor decision making. Right? Usually in poor decision making. They will come out. They will absolutely. So surround yourself with godly people that are a good influence on your life. I'm talking about your inner circle, right? People at work and situations like that, you can't change that, obviously, right? I mean, you're in the world, but don't be of it, right? Now, the next thing you must know and understand is that your worth and value, come on, you really got to let this sink into your heart. Your worth and value did not hinge on one person. It did not hinge on your job or career. You know what that's called? It's called the pride of life. And Jesus warns about the pride of life. Amen? In the light of eternity, none of that stuff will matter when you take your last breath on this earth and enter eternity in the presence of God. None of it will matter. None of it. Okay? No one's going to say when you pass away, say, boy, they had a wonderful job and a lot of money, didn't they? They don't care. You know what they will care? How did you treat people? Did they love? Were they there for people? I'm talking about stuff that really matters. No one cares. No one cares about your bank account. Amen? So you got to get this. You are not your job. You're not your career. Your job and your career are just simply part of your story. They're part of your provision on this earth, right? While you're in this earth suit, right? But none of these situations or trials, you got to understand this. None of these situations or trials or rejection in your life caught God by surprise. Isn't that good to know? God wasn't sleeping and he didn't say, oh my goodness, I forgot to push the button here and James's life. Look at this, right? Right? None of these things caught God by surprise. So you gotta let this soak deep in your spirit. God always has a plan and a purpose for your life. He never runs out of provision for your life. Here's what you got to come to the place of in your life. If God is not panicking, you shouldn't either. If God's not panicking, you shouldn't either. All right? So one thing that struck me after experiencing extreme rejection and emotional pain in my own life personally, are you ready for this? I found out, and I was pretty offended by this. When I went through these hard times and grieving times and rejection, I found out the clock does not stop ticking because of my pain. Can you believe that? How dare it? Right? The clock doesn't stop ticking. And then I walked outside of my house, and I walked in town. I walk in Walmart, and people are still living while I'm going through my pain. How dare they? Life kept on going. Right? Listen, don't waste time being inwardly focused in self-pity. Get back in the game of life as soon as possible. Get back in the game of life as soon as possible. Now, in John 5, there was a man sitting at the pool of Bethesda that had an infirmity for 38 years. And an angel, there's a whole bunch of sick people around this pool, and there would be an angel that came down at specific times to stir the waters up, and the first person into that pool to touch it was healed of their infirmity. I want to show you something from this account. Go with me to John 5. John 5. Yep. I was so offended when I seen that clock keep ticking. Life keeps going, and I wanted to sit still in my pity, in my self-pity. But God said, no. You jump right back into life. You jump right back in. None of this caught me by surprise. Look at this. John 5, 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which in the Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Now listen to this. This man has tried so many times. Let's think about him. He tried so many times to be the first one in that water, but nobody would help him. So obviously he had an infirmity that prevented him from walking normally of some sort. This man, listen to me, this is what the Holy Ghost wanted me to pull out. Are you ready for this? This man not only had a physical infirmity, but he had an emotional infirmity of rejection. He didn't feel cared for. He didn't feel loved. He didn't feel valued by others. Nobody would help him get in. He was extremely discouraged and depressed. And that caused him to constantly, get this now, it caused him to constantly be inwardly focused. The rejection, that soul wound of rejection got infected. And then Jesus comes along and asked the man, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" I don't know about you, but I mean, that's a pretty straight up, direct, easy question, right? That could have been answered very easily by this man. But instead, this man with the infirmity gives the excuse that he can't make it in on his own and nobody's helping him. This man was inwardly focused on his emotional wounds and he couldn't even answer Jesus' question correctly. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. This man, because he was looking inward at his own problem, there was a spirit of confusion all over him. Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this. There was a confusion all over him and in his mind. His focus and identity were shifted to the point that he was filled with confusion and he just gave up trying. Now, in aviation, if I take someone for a ride, if I ever take any of you for a ride, okay, the typical thing for someone who hasn't flown a lot or something, you're sitting in the plane and you're looking at, someone might start to get airsick. You start to feel dizzy. You start to feel a confusion. Do you know what the problem is when someone starts to feel that? The problem is they're looking inside the airplane. You know what the solution is? Get your eyes outside of the airplane. Are you following me? Are you getting it with this? This man was inwardly focused, and there was a disorientation. There was a confusion all over him. What he needed to do, he was so confused that even the Son of God's question didn't even jar him and wake him up. He couldn't answer it normally. He couldn't even answer it normally because he was so inwardly, oh, boo-hoo me, I'm the martyr. He needed to get his eyes outside of himself, and that's when the confusion would have left, and he would have answered Jesus' question correctly. See, what happens is when someone gets sick in an airplane or a vehicle, whatever, if it allows the person, when you get a reference point outside of that vehicle or aircraft, it allows them to see movement instead of just feel it. Are you getting this? When you get your eyes outside of the airplane and you look at the ground, you got a reference point now. And your body's saying, oh, this is why I'm feeling this. And the dizziness starts to go away. Well, here's what happens. People get so inwardly focused and worldly focused. If they would get their eyes back on, their focus back on the Word of God, the confusion will go. And breakthrough will come. Healing will come. Are you following me? So Jesus stepped in and healed the man. Emotional wounds and being inwardly focused will cause you, listen to me, to miss and not recognize divine appointments in your life. Amen. You will miss out on opportunities. You will miss out on so much of your life. Jesus, when Jesus asked the man, Jesus could have just went up to him and just healed him, right? But Jesus asked the question for one reason and one reason only. He was trying to shift the man's focus from inside to outside. This message, what I'm trying to do, what the Holy Ghost is trying to do, is to shift your focus from inside to on the Lord, on the Word. Listen to this. Some of the most amazing inventions and opportunities came to people after multiple rejections. Those people did not give up. Many times, listen to this. This is hard truth to swallow sometime. Are you ready? Many times, the rejection is needful for God to open up bigger and better doors in your life. Yes. Some rejections happen because God is trying to save your life and trying to protect your God-given identity. Amen. Some happen just because you're in the flesh and you're an idiot. Oh, you guys really like that word today. Wow. Something about a pastor saying idiot from the pulpit, right? Right? I mean, it's kind of on the edge, right? I like it. Listen, some rejections are making room for the right person to come into your life. It's time for you to flip your mindset against the enemy. God has not forgotten about you. God is still moving. You are still in God's thoughts. You are still on God's radar in your life. Now, I want to close and end here. Just a couple scriptures I want to give. Go to Romans 8:28. I want to give you some powerful points that the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I believe will be a blessing for you to overcome rejection. There's too many Christians that are walking around with a spirit of rejection all over their life. We need to break that thing. Amen? We need to break it. Now, Romans 8:28, very popular. but I want to pull something out and show you something. I want to bring you back to spiritual reality. Amen? Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Very simple words, isn't it? Very simple. But here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across to you. Don't ever downplay the effectiveness and power of this promise in Romans 8:28, that all things can work together for your good, no matter what has happened to you in your life. Here's the key that you need to take a hold of and don't forget. This is it. Say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Listen to this. We are responsible to keep this promise in Romans 8:28. We are responsible to keep it active in our life. Right? Now, let me go. The two conditions to keep this promise active is that we must love God and operate in his purpose. That's our part. Amen? If we're not doing that, guess what? That promise becomes inactive. Are you getting it? If we do those two things, this is what the Lord is saying. If you will love me and stay in your purpose for your life, there is nothing that God cannot and will not turn around for your good.
Amen.
Your life isn't over.
Amen.
It's just a new beginning, right?
Yes.
Every ending is just a new beginning.
Right.
Every ending is a chance for a new beginning, right?
Amen.
This promise is not, listen again, let me just say this. This promise is not talking about self-inflicted consequences of sin because it says that we must love God and be within his purpose. But here's the great thing, that if you did mess up, you can jump right back in that path of loving God and back into your purpose, and God will turn it around. Now, if you're going to stay on that tornado path, God says there's nothing I can do to even help you with this because now I need your cooperation. I need you to activate Romans 8:28 in your life.
Yes.
Let me say it again. I need you to activate Romans 8:28 in your life.
Yes.
You need to keep it active. All right? Now, look at, with that in mind, the Holy Spirit led me to another verse, all right, that we all know. But it's connected to overcoming rejection. Go to Romans 14:17 real quick. You getting anything?
Yes.
Not just I said the word idiot today? Okay. Good. Thank you. Glory. Now, Romans 14:17, and it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For Romans 8:28 to happen, for all things to work together for good in your life, you must, of course, love God and be in his purpose, or in other words, be within the boundaries of the kingdom of God. Say, I got to stay within the boundaries of the kingdom of God. When you're within the boundaries of the kingdom of God, this is what the Holy Ghost said. When you're within those boundaries, it will produce righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. All right, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. The point that the Holy Spirit was revealing to me is this: when you are conscious of your right standing in Christ and living right, obeying the word of God, it doesn't matter what rejection, what disappointment you face in your life, that righteousness, are you ready for this? How do you know if you're in the boundaries? Because no matter what happens to you, there will be a peace and a joy on the inside of you.
Amen.
Have you ever been rejected by someone and you're living right for God, but they rejected you. And when they left, you're like, see ya, I still have peace and joy in my life. You were within the boundaries, come on, of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Don't make me stomp up here again. Pastor's getting wild up here. Ah, glory to God. So, and because you're maintaining a kingdom mindset of your righteous standing in Christ, living in obedience, you are loving God and remaining in his purpose, and that keeps the promise of Romans 8:28 active in your life.
Amen.
You see, all things work together for the good. God will bring something better in its place.
Yes.
He will. This is a promise from God. Listen, that no matter what a person or the enemy tries to come against you with in your life, you literally, listen, you got to catch it. You got to catch it. You literally cannot lose in this life. Why? Because your purpose didn't hinge on a person anyways. Your purpose didn't hinge on that stinking job anyways. Are you following me? It is a supernatural guarantee from God himself that him and his kingdom will always be working on your behalf. The word works, but you got to work it. You got to keep it active. So don't ever lose hope in your life. Don't lose sight of your righteous identity in Christ. Don't lose sight of your righteous standing before God. Boldly run to him in your time of need. And don't ever let someone's perception of you change who you know you are in Christ. Make sure your thoughts and actions are rooted in the Word of God. That's what righteousness is. It's rooted in God's way of doing things. That's what righteousness is. Doing things God's way. Amen? God is revealing this. If you will consciously maintain your identity in Christ, think and act in line with that, you will never lose. Nothing will be able to take you out of his hand, out of his plan in this life. Amen? However, if you shift your thoughts to a wrong identity and start operating in sin, now you're opening the door to the enemy. Now you're doing that. Now, you must be within the boundaries of righteousness for God to turn a bad situation around. All right? When you stay within those boundaries, peace and joy will fill your heart. Let me end on this one right here. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 31.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We're going to drive this thing home. Hallelujah. No matter what type of rejection you experience, your mission, listen to me, no matter what you've experienced in your life, what pain, rejection, no matter what it is, your mission does not change. Your mission is to love God, remain obedient to him. And that's the only way to keep Romans 8:28 active. But Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God is telling us this. God is telling us not to take matters into our own hands when you're wronged. Don't take them into your own hands. He is telling us this, to let go and let him work in every situation where you felt hurt or rejection. Don't try to retaliate. Amen? Our job is to focus on him, wait patiently for him in every situation. And when we don't wait for him, our life, that's when it turns into a mess. We got to wait for him. Say, I got to wait for him. To wait patiently means that we have a confident expectation that our Heavenly Father is going to come through for us. He will bring something much better and profitable into our life in connection to his plan. Listen, at his perfect timing. There is a secret to success on this earth in the kingdom of God, and it's this: timing. You can do the right thing too early and it won't work. You can do it on time, man, you'll be blessed and you'll see fruit from it. You can do something late, you missed the timing. Why? Because God uses time bombs. Oh, you didn't hear that. God uses time bombs. When he tells you to do something, there's always a timing attached to it. That's what you got to figure out between you and the Holy Ghost. Amen? And when you wait on him, he says that our strength will be renewed. If you feel weak today from emotional wounds of rejection, here's what you're doing. You're trying to move forward with a heavy load that you were never meant to carry. You were never meant to carry it. That's why you're wore out. You get it? Church, give it to God by focusing on him and the promises in the Word of God. Stay within the boundaries of his righteousness, and you'll begin to see a mess get transformed into a beautiful message and a testimony of his love, grace, and provision and power in your life. Let's stand in this place. Prayer team, come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not allow your mindset to get shifted off of your who you are in Christ and what your mission is on this earth. That's the work of the enemy. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave this building without making him Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, I want you to come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. Maybe you've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe you're the one, you're a Christian, but my goodness, you're a human tornado. Maybe you're one of those human tornadoes that you notice you've been wrecking everything in your path, and it's because of those wounds that got infected and spread into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, you want to stop being that tornado, and you want to start being a blessing to God's kingdom and to other people, come and pray with our prayer team members. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism with speaking in tongues, come forward. We want to pray with you. Maybe you have received, you haven't prayed in tongues yet. Come on down. We'll lay hands on you and pray over you as well. If you need prayer for anything else, come down. We'll be here as long as possible. I want to let you know, Marianne and I were taking the kids to Ludington for a couple nights. So we're leaving this afternoon. We'll be back Tuesday. Doing it on my days off, Monday and Tuesday. So if you need anything, I got the cell phone. If I don't answer right away, just wait longer. Okay? Just wait longer. We'll get to you. All right. Love you all. We'll see you next week, and Wednesday and throughout the week. God bless.